on your part.
All right, here we go. On Track and Field Podcast. How you doing? I'm JT Ayers, your host. I've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. OnTrackAndField.com is the place you need to go to get the best price, the best equipment, and the best service to give your kids the opportunity to succeed. So you want to make sure they have Guild Fusion 10 blocks, 3/16 pyramid spikes, pole vault poles, everything you need on TrackAndField.com. I work with them. I'm a head coach. You should as well. You're not going to be disappointed. I'm not. OnTrackAndField.com. With me, yep, I'm about to say these words out of my mouth right now, is Noah Lyles. Coming off a huge win in the 60. Congrats, by the way. Three-time world champion, one silver, three-time Diamond League winner, bronze at the last Olympic Games. And by the way, the podcast is only so long. I can't keep saying these accolades. But what was really interesting is in 1931 that he ran in the 200 in Eugene, breaking Michael Johnson's American record. I was there. I was sitting front row with all the Jamaicans because they always get front row in Eugene and watched him do it. It was fantastic. You can watch more of Noah's life and training in his new docuseries, and it's free. It's on YouTube, and it's very good. It's worth your time. Myself and my four kids sit down. It's a whole family affair, and we enjoy watching that. You should as well. Noah, thanks for joining me, man.
No problem. Excited to be here.
All right, man, I just want to like jump right in and get your perspective on a few things. First and foremost, I'm speaking from purely as a fan and also as a track coach. How are you deciding what races to run and win? Like, you just ran the 60. That's not typically your thing, but indoor 60, why that? Why all these races? How do you space out that entire year?
Yeah, truthfully, my career is based off of big picture ideas. You know, when me and my coach go into a season, you know, we're not thinking about what our first few track meets are. We're thinking about what's going to be the end result. And this year, the end result is the double, the 100 and 200. And we know that the 60 portion of the 100 is the area that we can make the biggest changes in. So if we go into the season and we knock out some 60s and work on that transition phase and work on that acceleration and work on that start, then it's just going to increase the speed and, you know, better familiarize myself with the 100. And it can't hurt the 200 at all. I think the biggest, you know, proof of that is I PR'd last year, literally at this meet, and brought my PR down from 656 to 650. No, it was 668 or 658 to 656. And then a week later, I went from 655. And people are like, well, it's probably not big jumps, but later that year I ran I go from running 19.50 to 19.31. So down the road, big picture, this is a big deal.
I love it. And that's a good answer too. I mean, I guess every good coach is going to sit down and figure out what the big picture looks like, even if you're on top of your game and one of the world's greatest sprinters. But you have a unique style. And the one thing that you've never shied away from is your personality. In fact, you and I off podcast were talking about in the rain at Arcadia, your senior year, you ran 10:18 and you blew past everyone, but I had a kid in that race. And what's interesting is that you came out and just getting ready to in the blocks, they're giving you guys a couple, you know, get offs, and you started like being goofy, pointing down the thing. I was like, oh man, this guy is very confident and he knows what he's doing. So I guess my question for you, and I know at 25 years old, you're very wise and mature for your age. I was not anywhere close to where you're at, but here's the thing. Like, you have this personality and you have this confidence. Like, how has that been an advantage to you? But what kind of advice are you going to give the future generations of athletes to try to balance both those things in tension?
Yeah. Just like in my nonprofit, mental health is one of our huge, huge key points. And a lot of people will probably be tired of hearing that because, you know, we will go through 2021 and after the Olympics, everybody was saying it like it was the key word. But in reality, mental health is the ability to understand yourself. And because you understand yourself, then you are able to understand others. I can't stress how much of an importance it is to understand how you behave in certain situations. What I hate is when somebody will say, hey, I can't control how mad I get. You're right. You can't control how mad you get, but you can control how you behave when you get that mad. How do you keep those emotions in check, and how do you use them to your advantage? You know, the mind is an amazing thing. And once you're able to see what you're doing, you're able to use it to your advantage, not let it control you. And after that, the craziest superpower happens. You start seeing it in other people. And once you start seeing it in other people, you're like, oh, you're scared. And I know you're scared. And guess what? I'm going to play to that. You're confident. But what would happen if I beat you? Your confidence would drop so quickly. So quick. And my brother just walked in shirtless.
Hey, man.
And there he goes. special feature from Justine's Lost.
So let's lean into that a little more. You're talking about this mental side and the mental aspect. So how do you handle the pressure? How do you handle the expectations? You know, you're one of the greatest sprinters in the history of the event. So what do you do to stay focused and motivated?
Yeah, I'll talk to two points that I use. The one will be coming off of, you know, mental health. I have been in therapy pretty much all my life. I have ADD, dyslexia. I have depression that was pretty, and anxiety that was given through genetics. You know, my mom suffers from depression and anxiety, and, you know, she takes medication for it. And, you know, it's in my genes, and there is points where I have had to go on medication, but I was able to come off of it because I was able to catch it so quickly. A lot of people don't know that if you continue to let depression and anxiety, you know, run with or control you, it gets worse to the point where you can only use medication. You have to stay on it. But if you're able to catch it soon enough, you can just come on and come off when needed. But yeah, I have two therapists. I work with them both. One is for my normal day life, you know, let's talk about, you know, relationships, bills, going out and being social, stuff like that, you know, how to interact with my family, how to interact with people outside of that, you know, stuff like that. And then I have my sports therapist, and we are constantly talking about, you know, race plans, strategies, how we want the season to look, where we're going to go. How do we look at this year? Is this a year where we want something big to happen, or is this a year where we want to grow as a person and say, hey, all this is in preparation for next year? You know, that's the stuff we talk about with my sports therapist. And then the other one that I'm going to say is that me personally, I have truthfully a strong ambition and drive to see whatever I touch be great and be changed. You know, I'm not good at everything. A lot of people think I'm great at everything. I'm really not. But what I do want to touch, I want to make sure that when I'm gone, it's never going to be the same.
I love that. I mean, a professional athlete talking about legacy, but also leaning in and doing that. Yep, sure. I mean, a lot of people say it, but not a lot of people do it. So I've seen your supportive staff, especially even just in your grassroots episodes. I mean, you have a fashion friend, you have a chef, you have a chiropractor, you have a therapist, you have a physiotherapist. By the way, where can I get a Dr. Joe Brown? She's incredible.
She really is.
So like, when did you figure out you needed this huge supported staff to help you be successful, or to even, to use your words, whatever you do touch, there's a legacy attached to that?
High school. Freshman year of high school, I got injured in indoor season, and it was a minor injury, too. Truthfully, it was one of those situations where my IT band was overworked. But of course, I'm in high school and I didn't know that. So all I felt was pain and I couldn't run. But, you know, it was easy fix. I come from a track and field family. My dad ran for Adidas, actually. Both of my parents ran at the University of Seton Hall. NCAA champions, Big East champions, you know, the whole thing. My dad has a gold medal from world championships in 95, you know, on the winning 4x4 with Michael Johnson and all that stuff. So track is in our blood. So we know the world very well. So, you know, we made a call to JJ Clark, and he's used to coach my dad. And we were like, hey, JJ, do you know anybody who would be, you know, good physio? He sent us to a guy named Ike, and Ike sent us to who is my chiropractor now, who actually just left my house a few hours ago, Doug Obetz. And he is in the YouTube channel. And he basically, you know, showed me what I need to be doing, how to use a foam roller, how to stretch before a track meet, what I need to be putting in my body to produce good results. You know, he was the first person who probably gave me the car analogy. You know, treat your body like a Ferrari, put 95 octane in it, not 85, you know, all that good stuff. And that's when that was the first component of our team. And from there, we're like, okay, we have somebody to take care of our body. Now we need my mom was like, now we need somebody to take care of our mind. That's when our therapist came in. All right, we're going along further. All right, our chiropractor can only do so much. We need somebody to take care of our muscles. We brought in a massage therapist. And all of a sudden, here we are with a team. And it's kind of just like you're moving along and you're like, I want to be better, but something's hindering me. How do I go out and look for what I need? And then constantly just asking more, you're going to ask more questions to ask for more people, to ask for more help. And then eventually you will start building this team.
I love it. And man, I think that's good advice for anybody that's going to do anything in life. Doesn't have to be professional athletes, right?
It doesn't.
You need people. So you talk about legacy and I want to, after this question, we'll move on. But as an athlete, and you're trying to inspire, you're motivate, you have nonprofits, you're trying to show, and you're very real about who you are. In fact, I read a article about you about one of the saddest moments of your life is when you hurt your hamstring and you're just literally having to walk around the track, just waiting. And it was just awful because you knew you couldn't go out there and do it. So I guess my question is, as a high school coach and also a dad of four kids that love track and field and love you as their favorite athlete, it's actually you and Kenny. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I've watched that interview.
Hey man, they love Kung Fu Kenny, but they love Noah Lyles too. So here's the thing.
He's a great guy.
What's the next generation? What can they, I mean, this is a tough thing with mental health. You've lived it, you experience it, you go through it, and you have, I think you're in a perspective where you can give some good advice, help the future track and field athlete deal with their life. What advice do you have for them?
The biggest thing that I always ask somebody, and this is just for track, but of course it can be applied to life, is what is your overall goal? Are you here to have fun? Are you here to get a state championship, be a national champion, get a scholarship? What is your goal? Because that is how I can help you. And I'm pretty sure you've probably asked your athletes that all the time. But truthfully, that is a question that needs to be answered, because I can't help you until you know what you want. Because I'm going to give the attention to the people who know what they want. I don't care if you say you want to be a district champion or you just want a PR. I'm going to give you that attention. And I'm going to give you the same attention as somebody who said they want to be a national champion or they want to go pro. But to the person who does not know where they want to go, I can't help you. I can't give you that attention. So knowing that, I'd say, is your, you know, biggest thing. And something that I hate is when somebody feels that they can't change their mind. It's okay to change your mind. I don't expect you to know everything. I just want to know, where do you want to start? Where do you want to go? If you want to take this and just have fun with it, cool. I can show you a few drills. We can do a few little things. I can keep you over there. And as soon as you're ready to say, I want to go bigger, let's go. I can take you there. If you say you're fine here, that's fine. I know where to keep you, but you don't have to feel like you can't change your mind. I change my mind all the time. I start projects all the time. I have a Lego project right now that is just sitting in my middle of my living room that I just keep coming back to every once in a while because I change my mind. Sometimes I don't want to do it. it's okay to change your mind. And then definitely continue to grow. If you continue to grow, nobody can catch you.
Because you say that,
get stuck.
You're a 10-1 guy in high school, and yet you never stop getting better. And how many people, I'm fascinated by the people that don't stop getting better. There's a bunch of people that were really, really fast or really, really good in high school, mm-hmm. and you never really heard of them again. But yet,
yeah.
I got you on the podcast. I was talking to Kung Fu Kenny. I was talking to Dan O'Brien. I'm talking to like some of the greatest that it's ever done the sport. And they were not that good, or they were not done getting better as the years progressed. Like, what do you attribute that to? How does that even happen?
There are a lot of different ways, and everybody has their own journey. For me, it was, I truthfully knew deep down that if I did everything that was possible to be great, then I would be the best to ever touch this sport, and nobody would be able to touch me for generations. That is what drives me, truthfully. But for some people, what continues to, you know, keep them going is, I got to get out of this living situation. You know, that I can't be here no more. Mm. So for some people, it's, I need a better team around me. This, my mom stopped running after college because she didn't find the individualism of professional running to be comforting. And that's fine. But it got her, it took her places that she's never been. It's helped her meet people that she's never met. And it's helped her socialize and network to another degree. All skills that you will learn and continue to use for the rest of your life. But constantly being hungry for knowledge is something I will always tell somebody that you need to keep doing. There is a kid who trains with us, and he's in junior college. So, because one of our assistant coaches is the head coach of a junior college, and two of her athletes train with us. And I asked him one day, who do you study? And he said, what? I said, what's your event? He's like, I'm a 200, 400 runner. Okay, who do you study? Well, I like watching your videos. I'm like, yeah. Who else? Like, I'm not here to ask you to tell me about how great I am. That's not what I'm here for. I want to know, who do you study? Who is the person you look to as like, he got a good form, or I want to be able to emulate him, or I like his race strategy, or that's something that I can add to me. If you can't tell me that, then I know where you are in your growth process. You're still just trying to figure out how to do A skips. And if you're not, that means you stopped growing.
You're killing me, man. That's the, literally, I walk around my high school and I got a large team and I go, who's your favorite sprinter? And they'll go, I go, man, you're literally doing the sport and you love this sport and you don't know the best that are doing it right now. YouTube's right there. TikTok's right there. And they're right putting there. It out there.
Oh, throughout high school. Our school gave us laptops to use throughout the year. Constantly on Mile Split, constantly on YouTube, looking up times, splits, who did what, when, records, you know, area records, just anything I can get my hands on of, can this make me better? Or what can I apply to myself to get me there? Or even just having a goal, a small goal, because not every goal needs to be huge. Sometimes your goal is to just get through the day.
I love it, man. And I'm definitely going to be taking this podcast and be broadcasting it to my community, because the things you're saying are the things I'm saying. And if you're saying it, make me look better. So I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
What would Noah Lyles say is his biggest accomplishment in his athletic career? I mean, I could say it, but what would you say?
I truly fight between myself on this question. And it's even a question when people ask me, like, what are my life accomplishments? I struggle with this question because I always feel that my best is yet to come. So I'm never too hung up on something. My coach will say, my job is to keep you in the middle. You know, when you win a race and you're up here, you know, I need to keep you in that middle. Or when you lose a race and you're down here, I need to bring you back up. You know, I need to keep your head in the middle so that you can focus on the task. And that's kind of how I think of things. Yeah, like, winning at Boston, super excited, you know, great PR. I'm extremely excited about the future. But what I need to keep my mind on is that this is still the beginning of the season. There's so much season left. And if I continue progressing at this pace, that's when I'll get the great results that I'm looking for. So what I constantly struggle with is my achievement in the Olympic year of Tokyo 2021, of just getting through that year and grabbing a bronze medal and then losing at the Olympics, but then picking myself up to go back to pre and run that world lead. Such a hard 3 weeks for me. Like, my depression was out the roof. There was a time where I literally thought, like, shoot, I don't think I'm gonna get any faster. And I was so mad and upset that I thought that way. And that's when, you know, I'm talking to my therapist every day at this point. And I'm just so proud of myself for making out of it, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't have seen the fruits of my labor in 2022. And then, of course, I love the American record. You know, it was what I consider one of my most perfect races, even though I could critique that thing and make it look like it was my worst race. But those are the two that I struggle between, for sure, of my greatest achievements in track and field.
I love it. You're 5'11". You're about $1.60. Is that something you try to maintain? Is your weight something that you always look at and you're like, all right, I don't want to fluctuate too much? And what do you look at when, and what do your coaches look at when you're trying to figure out the optimal and perfect Noah Lyles sprinting form?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you for giving me 5'11". I'm actually just 5'10". 5'10 and a half on a good day, but 5'10". And 160 was my race weight as of last year. I am now 168.
Oh, you big. What happened,
man? I have no idea. I turned 25 and started gaining weight. No, what really happened is I started getting stronger in the weight room and the upper body. So Joe Brown from my team, she came down and she was basically like, hey, your muscles are disconnected. Like, your nervous system is disconnected. So your connection through pushing back in the blocks with your hamstring and your glutes is not simultaneously working with your arm and thrusting down the track. I said, oh, like, what is, like, do you think that's a, like, what do you think we could do about that?
Yeah,
like,
now how do we fix that?
How do we fix that? What, and where can I see that connection, and do I can improve with that? Because now my brain is rattling, like, I'm excited, because anytime I hear something new to work on, I get excited. But she is basically like, hey, let's get you stronger in those muscles that aren't working, the little ones. We're no longer in the big muscle groups. We're now in the small ones. And let's get them moving in the right direction. Let's get them active, and let's tell them that they need to be working when this muscle works. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I love this. So as a result, I got bigger, you know? And what I always tell people is, weight room for track and field is completely different from any other sport. Your weight is to help you move down the track. Anytime that it stops you from moving down the track, your body cannot physically carry that weight down the track at a fast speed. Now you're in the territory of, is this weight helpful? And if you can't carry it, that means you're going backwards. And if you're too light, then that means that your muscles will most likely be quick to injury because they aren't strong enough to handle the poundage of sprinting. Because sprinting is that you're putting a lot of force in that ground, and that's traveling throughout your whole body. So now your muscles have to be able to take that pounding and force that you're putting to the track. So it's a fine balance, but I definitely say, you know, just remember why you weightlift. It's not to gain the biggest muscles. It's to gain dense, powerful, and efficient muscles.
Well, I like that too, because it seems like when I was growing up, the sprinter was a monster. Like, they were jacked. They looked like they were linebackers. And now I have Wade Van Niekerk, and I have you, and I have even Kung Fu Kenny, who is tall, but he's like lean, you know? And then you have these guys that are running really, really fast. But then you get Mike Norman, and I'm good friends with his coach. Basically, Quincy said, hey, do whatever you want. Well, him and Benjamin, which went nuts in the weight room, and almost they got too big, and then they had to cut that down. So when you're in the weight room, you know, walk me through the weight room. You're telling me is really important and central to you in your sprint training, correct?
Yeah.
So what do you do? So, I mean, are you a big deadlift guy? Yeah. Are you a big plyo guy? No. Are you squatting heavy weight?
We are a power clean group for sure. You know, that is our telltale sign. Now, I'm not saying that, so I'll explain to you like this. And this is what we've been doing for the last 2 years, and I felt it's worked very well for us. We'll come into the beginning of the season, and, you know, we'll start very light. You know, we're just going after form, technique, making sure that our body can handle the weight.
Well, like bar speed, about, you just focusing on trying to get that bar quick?
Nope. We're just focusing on doing the right technique. We want to weight lift efficiently. Because if you find yourself in a bad position when it gets heavy, you injure yourself. We don't need injuries. That's a setback. That's 2 to 3 to 4 weeks of not training. And that's how you get left behind. So we're focusing on just technique. How do we move the bar correctly? Not how fast we're moving it, not how much weight we're carrying, just how do we move it effectively? That's the first 4 weeks. Once we get to the end of that, it's like, okay, let's go for a max. If you miss two attempts, you're done. That's how we work. Look at it. Once we have that max, we're like, okay, now we're going to break that up into percentages. So from 50% all the way to 100%, you know, and break that and write it down. And now the workout is based off your percentages, and everybody's is different. That's what I love about it so much, because so many people will look at somebody and their teammate and be like, oh, I need to be lifting what he's lifting. Well, he's probably a good 20 pounds extra than you. You don't need to be lifting that. He got 20 pounds of muscle that can absorb that weight. Uh-huh. You don't. That's an injury waiting to happen. So as if the workout calls for a power clean at 60%, and then on your next set, you'll do 65, and on the next set, you'll get to 70, and you'll cut it there. Now everybody knows that they're doing the correct weight. And you can adjust from there, make little adjustments, maybe put 1 or 2 pounds extra if you feel that it's, you know, not doing enough. And then in the middle of the season, we'll do another max test, and that'll be the last one for the year. And that will take you through the rest of the year. Because at the end of the day, we're not trying to really find your max. We're trying to find the place where it's uncomfortable for you, but still a challenge, and you can still get the weight.
Are you lifting even the week before big events? Like, this is the moment. This is when we're going to be running our very fastest. We've been working from January all the way to whenever that date is. You still lifting weights all season?
Pretty much. I'll say it like this. So right now we have Milrose. We still consider this a normal training week. You know, we just have a very fast workout at the end of it. So we just came off of New Balance Nationals. So Monday, we kind of just got all the gunk out of our body, did a few sleds, nothing too, you know, strenuous. We're really just trying to move the blood so it can circulate all the lactic acid out and, you know, get the tightness out. Tuesday, we did blocks, and Wednesday we have off. So this is our day to do any physical therapy or get on the bike, maybe do a pool workout, something like that. We travel tomorrow to New York from Milrose. We will do a blocks on Friday, and we will race on, you know, Saturday. Monday and Tuesday, we are lifting weights. Wednesday, physical therapy. There might be some weights involved, but it's nothing too weight roomy, you know. And that's how it'll be through the season until we'll get to about USA's, because by then we're just traveling. So we don't have a chance to get to a gym. And I think that's really the only reason that we don't weightlift. Because in the Olympic Village, you know, we'll be asking for weights all the way till about the last 4 days, 4 or 5 days. Yeah, 4 or 5 days. The last week, we'll be asking for weights. Now, we won't be lifting the same. Completely different type of lift cycle. So, you know, it's more about how efficient you are, how well do you move the weight, and is this a comfortable spot for you?
Love it, man. I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about the weights. Efficiency is paramount and making sure you're doing things right. So thank you so much for letting me have this conversation with you. And I mean, I can talk to you for so long, but we're going to have to make this a part two. So I just wanted to make sure that you can stick around so we can make this a part two. And then this can come out next week so people can continue to hear about all the things you're doing. And I'm just really excited about the content you're throwing us, and how open you are and how you wear all this stuff, your emotions and everything on your sleeve.
No problem.
But I need to make sure we talk about our sponsor, ontrackandfield.com. Literally the best in the business. Go to ontrackandfield.com and you can find why I use them and so many people do. A worldwide organization that is the best at the best at what they do. And that's giving your kids the opportunity to get what they need to be successful. And relaybatons.com is also a sponsor. And in a second, Steve, our CEO of both companies, is going to let you know how to get in contact with them on social media. So I'm throwing it to you, Steve. Take it away.
Thanks to our guest, Noah Lyles, for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast. And make sure you check out part two next week. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved and meet and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And you can save up to 50% when you use the word Track Talk at checkout. checkout. Some exclusions apply. And make sure to check out our new website, ontrackrunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. ontrackrunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at ontrack, the letter N, field, at ontrackandfield on Twitter and the gram,